if you want to own the conversation in your business niche or build a cause or an organization, right now I'm going to explain how it's done. Hit it.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuzz.
All right, all right. Thank you, Leah Brandon, for the big intro. You know, in a moment, I'm going to share my blueprint for using video to grow three of the largest patient awareness campaigns and the tactics for using video to create awareness for a cause are pretty much interchangeable if you're trying to become the guru in your industry or you want to help your company really own the conversation in your space, all right? And that's going to happen in a few moments, but first, there's a couple of really interesting news stories that you should know about. First of all, Snapchat's working on a Google Glass-style wearable that, they recently hired the guy who led recruitment for the creation of Google Glass and other wearable devices, plus two former Nokia hardware designers have joined their team, and I'm so lukewarm on wearables that are on your face. You know, a wearable on your body, like your wrist, like a watch or some type of Fitbit, great. But a wearable on your face, whole different story. You know, about a year and a half before Google released Google Glass, Google sent me a couple of pairs for Wirebuzz to use and to promote and demo during our live public speaking opportunities. And that product had so much potential. I mean, just coming out of the box, it was like, you know, something from the future and so much hype around it, but the user interface absolutely sucked. And the reaction people gave me when I was wearing it was so bad that within 30 minutes, my team, we all looked at each other and we were like, what do we do with this thing? We basically put it right back into the box. Unless a client was coming, we'd plug it in and let them play with it. But besides that, it was relatively worthless. And while I'm on this topic, a special thank you to eBay for being there when we needed you. You know what I'm talking about, eBay. Google's been testing promoted video ads in Google search results, which may provide video advertisers a much larger opportunity to use keyword targeting on their video ads. In the past, you could only target keywords in YouTube search results, which has a very different context compared to Google search. And that's a pretty cool development that you need to know about. Now, here's a clear sign that I'm getting older really, really quickly. You know, when I was a kid, all I wanted were a killer pair of the black and red Air Jordans. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Those things were pretty slick. And now I'm craving Steph Curry's new kicks that just dropped. Today, the two-time MVP released his ultimate shoe for dads with bad arches. I could clearly rock the all-white Nurse designs. Bring it, Under Armour, bring it. I sure need it. All right, all right. So if you want to own the conversation in your business niche, if you want to build a cause, an organization, or if you want to be the rock star, really, the guru of your industry, you want your boss to be that guru to the industry or the services that you cater to, this episode is absolutely for you. And that's why I'm joined right now by Wirebuzz's Director of Strategy, Marcus Krieg. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, Todd.
Now, Marcus and I, going back, you know, four something years, you know, you were really there when we started Breast Cancer Answers. And the template that we created for that cause is really a thought leader, guru, owning the conversation template. Agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. So for those who don't know what we've done, I'll do a little rewind the clock for people. 2011, my stepmom was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I already knew the biggest names in the fight against breast cancer because I created the first video medical encyclopedia on the internet. And so I wanted to help contribute to her and to her well-being and then ultimately to women like her. And as a digital marketer, I knew exactly what to do. So I reached out to the president of the American Society of Breast Surgeons, Dr. Jay Harness, and together we joined forces to create Breast Cancer Answers, where Dr. Harness kept a list of all the essential questions that patients ask. And we created videos every night. We connected up and we did this over Skype and we created videos that he would answer 2 minutes, 3 minutes on one specific topic. And before we knew it, within year one, we had 600 videos, over 6.3 million views. And our audience was basically all women. 35, 64 years of age. That's the window, the breast cancer window of being diagnosed. And we were catering to that niche and getting the word out. Now, let's take that kind of a blueprint and let's talk about how you do this for any generic cause or any generic business so our listeners can learn how they can dominate their industry.
Yeah, okay. So really the first thing you need to think about here is the competitive landscape that you're in, right? So when we launched Breast Cancer Answers, there wasn't a YouTube channel out there. There wasn't a website that was providing the kind of information where it was directly answering patient questions. And so we had a big first mover advantage. We could pump out a ton of volume and rank for all of those videos without really having to really fixate a lot on quality. Now, what ends up happening in that situation is you cast a super big net. We have over 1,500 videos now. And
approaching 2,000, brother.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, I just did the count this week.
Nice. So, you know, we have so many topics out there. We cast such a wide net that at this point, you know, there are about, 23,000 women every month diagnosed with breast cancer. We're getting over 45,000 views. And you know, Todd, that in this industry, you have about a six-week window where women are actively going out and seeking information. So, you know, we have an addressable audience at any one time of maybe 45,000 women, and we're getting one view for each of them.
And to give you some context, you know, we've had months in this year where we've had over 260,000 minutes of our videos watched by breast cancer patients. And so we've effectively used this model to own the conversation in breast. That project was so successful that we rolled out to not brother projects, you know, like a sister project is a brother project, right? We did a colon and a prostate campaign.
Although colon is men and women.
Men and women. So we created two other sister campaigns that have each gone viral in their own way. I think in a 12-month period, we generated over 1.1 million followers for those causes. And so, Marcus, the nitty-gritty, let's first talk about what people need to know if they want to own the conversation for an industry, a cause, or an organization. I think the first place you get started is you start organizing the dominant questions that are asked. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of people would think of this as keyword research. I don't think that's the right approach when you're using video. The more elegant approach is to think about it in terms of what are the questions people are asking, because those are the things that people are going to type in to a YouTube search and spit out a video. Usually those are going to be smaller. You're going to gradually go from big topics that everyone's looking for, like in the case of breast cancer, will my breast cancer come back? To much smaller topics like if I have lymph node
adjuvant
positive
therapy.
Yeah, but even that is so common. If I have ER positive breast cancer,
exactly.
And I've been on tamoxifen for 4 years.
Do it.
Should I stay on it? I mean, like really specific questions at some point, because as you amass this list of hundreds of topics, eventually you've answered and are ranking for all the big ones. And then you're going for more and more long tail searches. And over time, you have such a wide net cast that anyone in that space, anyone who's out looking for information, they can't help but find you.
And to help give you some context here, when Marcus is talking about the big videos, these are the ones that are applicable to almost everybody. And then you've got some niche ones that are specific to a very small subset of that group. So we have videos that have, you know, hundreds of thousands of views, like, for example, do I need chemo, right? Every patient's going to look at that video, and that one ranks, and it gets, you know, great views, and it builds thought leadership. And then the one like, I have ER positive, PR positive, HER2 negative, what type of treatment do I need, gets significantly smaller. So you never tie your effectiveness to the small one, but you do look at the big one to see if you're really catering to that niche.
Right. And that really comes back to that issue of competition. If you're looking at an industry or a niche where there's no competition in video right now, you can immediately go after those big ticket keywords, those big questions that everyone's asking, and use that to grow fast. But if you're entering a crowded market, you A, have a higher need for quality because it's hard to overthrow someone, and B, you're going to need to establish some channel authority before you'll be able to rank for those more competitive terms. So what you do in that situation is you start with the long tail, you know, very niche specific questions, and then you get more authoritative, you get more of those high value terms that everyone's looking for down the road.
All right. So if you're a business owner and you're looking at this blueprint that we laid out for a cause or a foundation or organization, all you have to do is say to yourself, all right, so I understand here are the entry-level questions that people ask me, and here are the more drilled down specific ones, and start keeping a sheet and create kind of like a editorial calendar of what you want to be creating and the type of wisdom you want to bring to your industry around that topic. Cool?
Yeah. And in terms of finding those questions, because I know that that's one of those things that people seem to struggle with a lot.
Absolutely.
If you are an expert, you may have what they call the curse of knowledge, which is you don't remember what those elementary questions are. Now, if you're a doctor, you know what those questions are because you get them every day.
Every 7 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
Every 7 minutes.
I would absolutely pull out my hair if I got every 7 minutes somebody was like, well, why video? I'd be like, right. Ah!
Yeah, it'd drive me crazy.
Right.
But most experts, most people who are in a position of authority, they're not thinking about the elementary stuff that people are asking anymore because we start at some level to specialize and we get further down into the weeds, and what we think is important and what a rote beginner would think is important are very different things. So one of the most useful hacks, I guess, for finding these topics is to ask your customers, ask your target audience, what do you want to learn more about? What are your questions? And I think this is a really important aspect of how we launched Breast Cancer Answers. Was we invested an immense amount of time answering questions. We had a form on our website that where you could ask us any question you want. We will make a video if we already have a video, we will email you the video. And we tons of sweat equity to get that thing off the ground.
We would wake up and there would be 80 new questions in our inbox. And I didn't know you were with us when we were still doing that.
That's why you hired me.
Yeah.
You hired me to solve that problem.
Did I?
Yeah.
So
that was the first project you gave me. You were like, Marcus, so here's our problem.
Right. But I think it's really smart. Like if I was recommending somebody how to get started owning the conversation in their space, I would say take an unscalable solution and run it for 6 months. And then after that 6 months, transition like we did. So we took a totally unscalable concept of submit your questions, we'll provide you the answer back in video. And we were emailing everybody back videos from our library. And if we didn't have one, like Marcus just said, well, Dr. Harness would get in front of a camera and Orange County, California, he'd film it, or we'd Skype film it and push it back out to that patient. We had like a 24-hour, 48-hour turnaround. And it got to the point where it was so unbearable that we had to pivot our concept, but our audience helped us by telling us what was important to them, and we prioritized that.
Right. And so like the basic questions, those were easy. Like the doctors, they knew what the basic questions were. It was those very specific niche questions that were a challenge for us, but the audience knew exactly what they were. So we just opened it up. We were, just tell us.
If you build it, they will come.
And literally that was what tell us was what we titled the form.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so funny. It caused a lot of anxiety internally, but that's part of the reason how in year one, you know, right out of the gate, like a horse at the Kentucky Derby, you know, we end up with 6.3 million video views right away. So ask your audience, be receptive to it, be responsive when they ask, give information, and continue to get into the cycle of catering to your niche. But make sure you're lending to your greater credibility. If you're not the perfect person to answer that question, get the perfect person and ask them and interview them. And you may notice in this podcast that there may be a conversion rate optimization expert that may or may not specialize in video, but if I want to do a topic on it, I'm going to get them, I'm going to bring them here so you can learn about it. Do the same in your niche.
Yep, absolutely. And actually those topics where you're bringing in an external guest, usually they're going to be savvier self-promoters. And they're going to have an existing audience of people who may link to that content and share that content for you. It's an amplifier. Right. So don't just rely on yourself as the expert, but when you have an opportunity to bring someone else on to lend their authority to your brand and to promote you to their audience, that's an even bigger win.
Yeah, it's an amplifier, but it's also, like you said, lending authority and credibility back to you, your cause, your organization, your business. Don't miss that opportunity. Now, Marcus, as we're having this conversation, I hear one of our frequently asked questions in my head that somebody would be asking if they were in the room with us. And that question is, and it's cringeworthy for us because we get it so often, and I'm sure as listeners, you know what your cringeworthy questions are. But Marcus, when you're recommending that somebody create a library or they start answering the question, how long should that video be?
Right? Long enough to answer the question and no longer. And you, oftentimes when we're sitting down and we're actually interviewing someone, the way that they want to answer the question is very roundabout. And I am one of the worst offenders of this.
No.
I just like to hear myself talk, right? But when you're interviewing someone or you're recording, maybe you're recording yourself into a webcam or your phone or whatever that is, you may have to do multiple takes, listen to your take and be like, wow, I didn't need any of that in order for someone to actually take action or to feel confident moving forward with this answer. So you might have to tighten it up. I know you actually went through this experience just a couple days ago with that, the Google mobile speed.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You did like three different versions because the first one was 4 minutes and you were like, wow, this is too slow. I don't need all of this. You trim it down to, what was it? It ended up being around 2 minutes.
Yeah, I actually reverse engineered making it shorter. You should always make it shorter with your script. Read your script, time it. But I'm so damn cocky because I've had so many years in front of a microphone in my life that I'm the worst person for that advice, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to write it. I look at it and I go, oh yeah, that's about the right length. And then I read it, or I kind of ad lib my way through it. And then I look and I go, whoa, that was like 4.5 minutes. That's way too long. So when I reverse engineered it, I went back and edited it down and just pulled out all the unnecessary fat and just made it all really lean.
Right. And especially on YouTube, people expect jump cuts. If you are, you know, creating a video for your homepage, you probably don't want a jump cut approach. But on YouTube, that's the expectation. So you can just film it and chop out the fluff. But the big thing here is you need to be concise and tight, because if someone feels like you're moving too slow for them, they're going to go look for another video. And that video is going to end up with more authority than yours. And over time, you're going to start seeing your rankings drop, or you won't climb the rankings, depending on where you're at.
So if your video is actually too long, kind of like my explanation, you might want to consider two different videos and just being more specific with your titles and your topic.
Absolutely. And that is a very good approach, especially if you're going after search results. A lot of people want to rank for words like content marketing. And it's like, you're never going to get a YouTube video to rank for content marketing. So instead, you have to chop it up into all of the little component parts.
Even if you hire a rock star SEO or an agency or, you know, people like us, you would never rank for content marketing because the competition is through the roof.
The competition's through the roof. You have YouTube channels with all this authority. And when you're talking about these competitive terms, like I was saying before, you need to build up your authority before you even have a shot, because they're entrenched. That first video, it's getting extra views because it's ranked number one. They're getting extra engagement because it's ranked number one.
This is where the rich gets richer and the poor
gets poorer.
Exactly.
The rich get richer, especially when we're talking about search results. So if you're in a blank market, go after video and be very aggressive with your volume, but make sure you maintain this minimum standard of quality so that it won't be easy for another video marketer to come and usurp your throne, as it were. But if you're coming into a new market, you really do. Your video will have to be better than the video that's in number one. And not just better, it needs to be substantially better so that you can start attracting those links and you can start climbing the rankings over time.
You know, one of my public speaking events, I think I remember seeing you in the audience. So correct me if you weren't there, but somebody right in this same conversation brought up a question that I think most people listening are thinking of right now. What if I've got a kind of a boring industry, right? And the segue in their question was, really, what am I going to do differently if there's a lot of competition for ranking for those words, or there's other people that are already doing videos about this? am I making a mistake for getting in? And the answer is always, you know, what are you going to do differently? It's about your passion and your individuality and the way that you can explain things and maybe simple to understand terms. And so that's your unique advantage that maybe somebody else may not have. And before you know it, when you put your spin on it, the audience will respond. And you don't even know really what your competitor's content, how old it is. It may be perishable. And there's an opportunity for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when you look... And again, I keep bringing this back to competition because when we're talking about owning the conversation, really, you need to own search because that's how people are going to reference and discover you in the first place. So when you're looking at the video that you're trying to dethrone, if that person's a better performer than you, you probably shouldn't do a talking head because you're not going to beat their performance. You just need an element of self-awareness. Maybe if you want to go after that search term, you create an animated video. Or a whiteboard video, or something. You still need to think in terms of what's the best way to teach this material, but if you're looking at a talking head and he's just amazing, and you know that you're okay, but not amazing, well then don't do that. Don't even try. Don't compete on their terms if they are objectively better in some way than you. Find another way to create a video that's helpful and engaging, but that caters to your strengths. There's a lot of opportunity to be different. And if you can't be better, be different.
And if there's already a Facebook page or a LinkedIn group around this topic, don't feel like you need to be going somewhere else. Learn to create content and be part of that conversation and be helpful. All of these videos that we've talked about, they are void of marketing hype. Be helpful. That helpful will help you go viral. And before you know it, because you've been altruistic, people will gravitate towards your information.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, he's Marcus Krieg. I know, Marcus, you and I could spend an hour, maybe 4 hours on. By the fourth hour, we're going to need cocktails, but we could easily do
it. I agree.
But not today.
Thankfully.
Yes. All right. So that's kind of a big picture overview on how we took breast cancer and created a really global phenomenon. I was somewhere the other day where somebody came up to me and said they've been following that initiative that we created for the last 5 years, and they've been a fan. I would have never known, but my influence or my information has been shared and helped and been supportive to the 700,000 followers of that specific campaign. You can take that template and use it for your business, your cause, your organization, or even your boss, and turn them into the guru of your niche. So on behalf of Marcus Krieg, my name's Todd Hartley. We're the crew here amongst many at Wirebuzz, and we absolutely love this topic. So thank you, Marcus, for spending a few moments with me.
Thanks for having me.
All right, if you want to know how to take the information Marcus and I gave you, create videos, and then dominate search results, well, Wirebuzz created a free SEO YouTube ebook. And it's free to the listeners of this podcast. You can access that YouTube SEO ebook at wirebuzz.com/YouTube-SEO. wirebuzz.com/YouTube-SEO. If you want to get access to the show notes for this episode, really easy, wirebuzz.com/27. And a simple way to remember 27, I mean, who could forget the number 27? That's the age that many of the most legendary rock stars died. They all died at 27. Kurt Cobain, Amy Winehouse, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, you get the picture. wirebuzz.com/27.